Nah. WWE, you know, tonight was not a very good episode of Monday Night Raw. Not only that, not revealing the fifth member of Bianca Belair's team, that just popped the air out of the balloon. The crowd, very pissed off about it. Who's there live? A lot of people seem to not give a shit too much about the main event. As far as me, I was like, nah, man, what the fuck? Seriously, you're going to milk this until the night before Survivor Series? Nah. Now, as far as yours truly, I am still recording your Survivor Series predictions Tuesday afternoon. It will drop here Wednesday at 12 noon. I am still going with my pick. I had it ready, everyone. Actually, this is the thumbnail that I originally went with tonight, and I was prepared to add Beth Phoenix to it. Now I got to put question marks because I don't want to clickbait anybody. I still believe it's going to be Beth Phoenix. I know there's some of you out there that think Candice LeRae. Obviously, the long shot is Sasha Banks. Listen, if they reveal it to be Sasha Banks on Friday, then I probably would be like, all right, you know. But nah, man, everybody and their mother expected the reveal to be tonight, and now they're milking it to Friday. And honestly, I think that's a bullshit move, especially with the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, I don't know, kind of like got me in a, you know, look, I ain't going to lose sleep over it. I still think Beth Phoenix is going to be the choice. You know, no disrespect to Candice LeRae, or as some websites are reporting, Dana Brooke. You do that Friday, you announce somebody like that, those fans will shit all over it. They'll start cheering for Damage Control. So, anyway, how's everybody doing tonight? It is Monday night, November 21st, 2022. If you are celebrating Thanksgiving this week, much love. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you out there. Tonight, we'll talk a little WWE. We will talk about Raw, some news leading into Survivor Series, a couple of programming notes, because remember, I will be on vacation from Wednesday until Sunday afternoon. I already recorded it. The state of the channel, it is recorded. It is online, and it will drop for everyone on 12 noon Tuesday afternoon. That's 12 noon Eastern. 20 minutes. I definitely recommend each and every one of you out there take a few moments and watch it, because there are some changes coming to the channel. I don't want to get into it here because it'll take a little bit to explain. Everything is positive, but there are changes coming to the channel. Some of it is long overdue. Some of it is based on what we have seen over the last 2+ years, especially going video. I think overall, I think everybody will be very happy for it. You know, I will tell you this. You know, one thing I will say right now, you know, going forward, the shows are going to be shorter. I don't expect all of you to watch or listen to each and every minute of everything I do during a week. There are other podcasters out there that I know you enjoy as well, and it would be very selfish for me to put 7-10 hours of programming out there, and you don't even have time to tune into others. Now, I do understand, and I think this is an aspect that a lot of people don't realize. For everybody who tunes in live, big shout out to all of you who hang out in the chat. And the thing is that if the shows end earlier, you know, what I realize is that all of you hanging out with each other, interacting with each other, chatting with each other, that ends as well. So if the shows only go an hour to 70 minutes, you know, I understand, you know, you want to continue that conversation past the show. And I feel bad. That's the one thing that kind of sucks as far as tweaking things. But in the end, there's going to be more content added. So definitely check out that tomorrow. And again, on Wednesday, you will get your Survivor Series predictions. We got 5 matches. We got a new match added tonight. And look, I think we actually even figured last week that this match was going to happen. Seth Rollins defending the United States Championship against Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory in a 3-way. You know, little subtle things about Austin Theory that I'm really, really digging. Now, look, Austin Theory ain't winning Saturday. Now, the way I feel right now, Bobby Lashley will probably eat the pin as a result. But the one thing I will say about Austin Theory, I don't know if you noticed it tonight. And look, I kind of have to say a few things about Mustafa Ali as well. I kind of feel bad for that guy. I don't know if I should feel bad about him, but Austin Theory, one little aspect that I liked tonight, when he cut his promo in the ring and then Bobby Lashley showed up on the Titantron and said, "You want me so bad? All right, I'll come out there." Now, when Bobby Lashley went to ringside and Lashley is making fun of Theory for losing the briefcase and losing against Seth Rollins, Austin Theory retaliated and was making fun of Bobby Lashley for losing a crown jewel, losing the United States Championship. But when Bobby Lashley entered the ring to go after Austin Theory didn't run away, didn't back down, went right at Bobby Lashley. You know, I know this is entertainment, but little things like that really stand out to me. And they are really going in the right direction with Austin Theory. And look, if you followed Theory like we did, a lot of this is expected. You know, nobody and their mother here thought that he was being squashed or jobbed out. We went out of our way to talk about his 3-28 record after winning the briefcase. And it didn't feel like he was being buried. You know, he is organically being developed into a major star. I'm very curious to see what happens to Austin Theory between now and WrestleMania. Because originally the match at WrestleMania was going to be him versus John Cena. That could very well still happen. Hell, I was even thinking, what about Austin Theory versus Logan Paul? You know, just something like that makes you think a little bit. Maybe a three-way with John Cena. You know, look, we're not talking about WrestleMania yet. It is way too many things that have to go down between now and then. But Austin Theory, man, you could see that something is brewing there. Now, Mustafa Ali, I really was thinking about this tonight. Could that tweet that he sent to Braun Strowman teach me how to get fired? You know, Braun Strowman's flippy flippers comment was stupid. Asinine to Braun Strowman. I think Braun Strowman learned his lesson. I hope that he did. But doesn't it feel like ever since Mustafa Ali posted that tweet that he's been maybe close to being buried? I mean, I know he had the match against Ricochet and selling the ribs and refusing to quit and put up a valiant effort. But in the end, look at Mustafa Ali over the last 16 days since that tweet. Let's also point out one more thing. Not only did Mustafa Ali not get a match at Crown Jewel, he never got his match against Seth Rollins. You remember the build? Mustafa Ali versus Seth Rollins? Bobby Lashley showed up in the back, beat the shit out of Mustafa Ali, never manufactured into a match. Ali never got the match against Seth Rollins, not even on a Monday Night Raw. So to me, I'm very, very intrigued right now what is happening to Mustafa Ali. You know, here's the thing. If you're going to sell the ribs, you know, this isn't Rob Van Dam when he does a five-star frog splash and then holds his ribs for a few seconds and then goes for a pin. You know, fans are not into this, wow, Ali won't quit. You know, he's battling through rib injuries. He won't quit. He won't stop. You don't feel the fans getting into Ali like that. And now he loses to Austin Theory tonight. You know, I don't know where this leads with Ali. I don't know if you feel the same way I do. And this is not a knock on Mustafa Ali, but I don't feel it. And something is up there. And I don't know if it's because of the tweet. I don't know if they, and remember, you know, how he held out. You know, it's a big deal. All right, something else tonight that pissed off a lot of fans out there. No, it is not the Mia Yim. Oh, let's take this graphic off the screen. Sorry about that. Mia Yim. If you notice tonight, even after they changed the name on the WWE website, they still referenced her as Mia Yim. Mi-chan is going to be a nickname for Mia Yim. And ultimately, they will start calling her by her nickname. Now, look, I'm not comparing Mia Yim to Triple H. But, you know, when Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and they first started, look, this is the first person that came to my mind. When they first started calling him Triple H, they would use both. Other wrestlers who had a nickname, and they would reference both, and then slowly it just transitioned into the nickname. So right now, after they announced the name change to Mi-chan, they still reference Mia Yim's name. So right now, you're going to hear a combination of both. When Bayley cut her promo, she did not mention Mia Yim's name. Kevin Patrick did. Corey Graves did. I think Bianca Belair did. And they referenced her name numerous times. As time goes by, they will slowly focus on just the nickname and not so much. Look at Kevin Owens. I mean, you know, it's not as an extreme, but many times it would just say KO, 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 KO. But they would still use Kevin Owens. So do I think that they will just stop calling her Mia Yim completely? Probably not. But this is the nickname that everybody wants to use. Now, I want to make something clear. From what I understand, I could be wrong. From what I understand, Mia Yim is the one that signed off on the nickname. If you remember when she showed up on Raw and they had that backstage interview, and then Luke Gallows was touting that he, you know, is good with the women and he got Mia Yim into WWE. If you remember, Carl Anderson called her Mi-chan. That is, in Korean, that stands for crazy. So that is, and look, Mia Yim is Korean. So that's what it stands for. So if you're wondering where the name came from, they actually used that name when she made her return to WWE. But from what I understand, she signed off on this. So this is not just WWE coming up with a name. I want to make that clear, all right? Joey's asking me, what does HBIC stand for on her hat? It stands for head bitch in charge. Head bitch in charge. That's what HBIC stands for. Now, one thing that the fans are pissed off about, and honestly, I am 100% in agreement. Tonight, Johnny Gargano came out for a match. We thought it was going to be against The Miz. Miz comes out, can't wrestle, got injured, filmed a TikTok video, injured himself on some cactus plants. He's got a suitable replacement. Omos comes out. And Omos beats Johnny Gargano. That's not what pissed, well, that probably pissed off some fans also. What pissed off a lot of people is WWE has replaced Johnny Gargano's Rebel Heart theme with something similar. Why get rid of the theme? You know, as I wrote on Twitter tonight, unless there's a licensing issue, why get rid of the theme? I mean, if you look at a lot of wrestlers' themes in WWE, there's a lot of themes that don't identify with the wrestler. Some of them are good. I mean, Judgment Day is awesome. I mean, there's some very good themes. But there are a lot of wrestlers out there that, you know, the themes just don't identify with them. You know, and you know what this reminds me of? You know what this theme reminds me of? It reminds me of what AEW did with Bryan Danielson's theme. Bryan Danielson's theme was great as it was. It was a little bit of a hybrid from the WWE theme, and it morphed into like a nice catchy beat. And then they added fucking lyrics to it. Now, I have nothing against the performer. And the funny thing is, up until about 2-3 weeks ago, I thought the performer was a female. I swear to God. I had no idea that it was a male performing it. But when I heard it, I'm like, why add lyrics to it? Me personally, I like Bryan Danielson's theme without fucking lyrics. This is the opposite of it. They took Rebel Heart and they pretty much removed all, not just the lyrics, but the feeling behind that theme. You know, look, do I have it, you know, in my playlist? No, I don't even have it in my computer. But when you hear that theme, not only does it identify with Johnny Gargano, but there is an emotion behind it. You know, you look at when he was leaving NXT, and they played that theme. Remember when he came out? You remember all the emotion out there? I don't understand why they changed the theme. There's an old saying, if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. Why did WWE do this? Asinine move, in my honest opinion. You know, tonight there was a few things that I think annoyed the WWE universe out there. So, I don't like the variation of the theme. I just don't like it. Reminds me of the opposite of the Bryan Danielson stuff. But anyway, let's get into a few other things tonight with Raw. Let's talk a little bit about Survivor Series. By the way, tonight's episode of the Don Tony Show is brought to you by Manscaped. You know, we have Thanksgiving coming up, and everybody loves turkey and stuffing, but you use Manscaped, your balls will be the perfect dessert. Yes, they actually know that I'm going to say that tonight. Yes, your balls will be looking like dessert. We'll talk about that a little bit later. You go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code DONTONY, get 20% off your order, get free shipping. I am a customer, and believe it or not, right before we went live, I looked on my floor to pick up something, and I realized I got foot deodorant in the room because, I had some shoes that kind of stunk, and I actually sprayed them in the shoes, and I left the shoes in this room so the wife didn't have to, like, smell them. I have Manscaped stuff everywhere. Oh, and by the way, I talked about this a couple of days ago. This is a trivia contest prize that somebody won about 2 months ago. Unfortunately, sometimes some of you win trivia contests. I mail it to you, and you don't pick up your shit. So somebody got this prize 2 months ago, never claimed it at the post office, and it was sent back to me. And I kid you not, this is how the post office sent it back. Not only is it bent and folded inside my P.O. box, but they actually tore it. So I will not reveal the address, the name, because I don't want to embarrass the person. But you know what? We're going to open this shit live right now. Let's see what prize somebody passed up. Let's see what's inside. All right. Oh, I feel bad. Liv Morgan? Is it? I don't know if it's just Liv Morgan, but man, the photo's like all photos. No, there's more than, is there more than one? Yeah, there's more than one in here. Let's see. Liv Morgan, and there's something else. Oh, two Liv Morgans. Oh, I remember that contest. This was right after Money in the Bank. You know, I got two exclusive photos, her winning the briefcase and winning the title the same night. And this, whoever this person was, initials KD, not that KD that always, you know, frequents the watch party, is always in the chat room. Very, very generous for the show. That's not that KD. It's a different KD. Passed it up. By the way, next week, I think we're going to do an LA Knight. Yes, that is an LA Knight autograph card. I think we're going to do maybe a Bray Wyatt combination. I think we'll do that next week. Someone will win a Bray Wyatt LA Knight combo. I hope they have a match. I really don't want Bray Wyatt to not have a match till WrestleMania. Could they have a match at Survivor Series? Why not? There's only 5 matches announced. Yes, War Games, each match is going to take probably 45 minutes. But you take away those 2 matches, there's an hour and a half, even if you go 2 hours for those two. You know, that just leaves 3 matches left. And I personally don't think those matches are going to go more than maybe 10 minutes, 12 minutes. So they definitely have time to add one more match. And anyway, who thinks that Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight is going to go more than 3 minutes? I don't know. Maybe we'll do a prediction for that match tomorrow, just in case it happens. All right. So, a couple of things I want to let you know before we fill in the blanks with Raw tonight. This is definitely something some of you may be interested in. Peacock, you know, where WWE has their premium live events. Thursday is Thanksgiving. Friday is Black Friday. And look, I don't make nothing on this, but this is something I think some of you out there would want to do. Now, I honestly am thinking about canceling my Peacock subscription and see if I could get this deal. On Friday, for Black Friday, In fact, I think you might even be able to do it right now. So if you're interested in this, go to Peacock's website and see if you can get it right now. If you enter the promo code SAVEBIG, all one word, SAVEBIG, they will give you a whole year's subscription to Peacock for 99 cents a month. That is a fucking steal. You'll get WrestleMania for 99 cents. You'll get the Royal Rumble for 99 cents. Survivor Series, 99 cents. I mean, how? Just think about it. AEW's pay-per-view was what, 50 bucks? That would be equivalent to 50 months of Peacock. Now, this deal's only good for a year, but you got to use the Don Tony mentality. 1 year ago, Peacock offered the same subscription. So, what do? You subscribe this week, get the 1 year, pay 99 cents a month. A year from now, they do it again. Even if it says for new subscribers only, get another email address, open up a second email with Gmail, and cancel that Peacock subscription, sign up for another. Every year, you probably could get Peacock for 99 cents until they get a little bit cheap and they take the offer away. 99 cents a month. Again, I don't make nothing from this. I don't get no thank yous from Peacock. Peacock's not even a living human being. So just wanted to share it with all of you in case you're interested. By the way, the Royal Rumble, since we mentioned it, WWE touted today. Check this out. Of all the Royal Rumbles in history, the Royal Rumble coming up in January, they have announced that it is the largest gate they have ever had in the 36-year history of the Royal Rumble. Over $5 million. Crazy, man. Royal Rumble has already generated over $5 million, and we don't even know who's in the fucking event yet. That's pretty damn impressive. Pretty damn impressive. I think the stock market will enjoy that. All right, so Monday Night Raw tonight, we actually get a little treat. Kevin Owens opens up the show. He gets on the mic. He is, he's not looking for Sammy at War Games. His focus is on Roman Reigns. He's coming for Roman Reigns. It's been two long years. And he took Roman Reigns to the limit, not once, not twice, but three times. And when he went on commentary for our opening match, Kevin Owens said he loves Sami Zayn. But Sami Zayn gets in his way during War Games. You know, he's going to do something about it. He wants Roman Reigns. That is Kevin Owens' focus. So Kevin Owens, while he's on the mic, he says that he was invited to come to SmackDown, and he is part of the team, but he obviously is, you know, willing to reciprocate the offer. He invited the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre to Monday Night Raw tonight. Unfortunately, everyone, we were not going to see the Bloodline and the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre brawl tonight. Well, common sense and storyline, how would the Bloodline know that the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre would be at Raw tonight? But they weren't. So since the Bloodline was not at Raw tonight, somebody's got to go at it with the Brawling Brutes and Drew McIntyre. So we get Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin later on. And I got a little video clip I got to share with you. Was that the punch of the year? Drew McIntyre to Baron Corbin. I mean, we've seen some beautiful moves in the world of pro wrestling. We've seen some insane curb stomps. We've seen insane moves off the top rope. We just saw Ricochet do the shooting star, you know, while Ali was standing up on Friday. We've seen some insane AEW moves as well. But was that punch the punch of the year tonight? And the funny thing is, everybody that was oohing and ahhing, like, oh my God, he really fucking connected. I got the clip, and I'm also going to show it to you on Super Slow Mo. That might be the greatest punch of 2023 of anybody. To me, it tops. Do you remember when Triple H punched Kurt Angle a couple of years ago, and Kurt Angle stood in the ring like, and he waited to get punched? This is better than that. I'm going to share it with you in a few minutes. So the Brawling Brutes come out. They're ready for war. And they get interrupted by Judgment Day. Judgment Day comes out. Dominic Mysterio tells them, go back to SmackDown. And while you're there, tell my deadbeat dad I said hello. Finn Balor touting his match with AJ Styles at Survivor Series. And Finn Balor says he hopes the bloodline kicks the Brawling Brutes' asses. So next time they show up on Raw, the Judgment Day will kick their asses as well. So Sheamus issues a challenge to Finn Balor. Now, we thought it was going to be a one-on-one match, but it ended up being the Brawling Brutes versus the Judgment Day. And they accepted, Damian Priest accepted. We had a banger of a match. I know that word is getting played out very, very quickly. Yeah, it's funny. I remember when I was using the term banger earlier in the year, and some podcasters, you know, tried to, like, make fun of me. Like, who? What grown adult uses the term banger? All right, whatever. Whatever, if that makes you feel good, you know, whatever. But we truly had a banger today. Dominic Mysterio, chicken shit. He remember chicken shit. That's a compliment. Chicken shit tried to exit the back. And then the OC come out, chase him back into the ring. You know, Sheamus, with his shots to the chest, 20 of them to Dominic. 20. And this hurts. Can you imagine if Sheamus did this to me? My neck is already red because I got some circulation issue. Yeah, that's legit. No joke. Look. I was going here. I wasn't going up there. Yeah, I got a little issue. We'll get it taken care of next week. That's okay. But Dominic takes 20 shots from Sheamus. Match was excellent. And what ends up happening? Sheamus, bro kick, Dominic, 1, 2, 3. Benjamin's like, nobody wants to see that. It's my neck. It's my neck. It's not my back. It's not my pussy and my crack. We had some fun, for those that didn't tune into Saturday. We had some fun Saturday. I came out with that out of nowhere. Everybody had a good laugh. So I said, on every show from now on, I'm not going to force it. But if any of you out there end up causing me to use the term neck or back, I'm going to sneak that in every time. Get used to it. On almost every show, I will try to sneak that in. You will be the ones to cause it, not me. So the next time I show you my neck, you know, don't focus on it because, you know. All right. Psycho's like, okay, DT, let's move on. So the Brawling Brutes defeat the Judgment Day. Phenomenal match. I loved some of the back and forth banter as well. Finn Balor using maybe a little choreographed line. You're like, salt, sugar looks like salt, and you're salty. You know, it's like, I don't know who fed him that. But I did like, I think Sheamus used some term with something with a daddy tonight. There was some pretty interesting one-liners that were going back and forth tonight. But very, very good match. Brawling Brutes over the Judgment Day. Little momentum leading into Survivor Series. Johnny Gargano versus The Miz, like I said earlier, did not happen. Miz brings out Omos. Next week, we have Miz versus Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis wins. He gets all his money from The Miz, and he gets a contract. I think we know where that's going. Please do not milk that anymore, WWE. Seth Rollins, little interview in the back. You know, we found out earlier that we were getting a three-way at Survivor Series. Seth Rollins reveals that he's the one that asked for that match. He reminds everyone what he did to Cody Rhodes. He talks about Austin Theory and says that he once was Austin Theory. And at Survivor Series, he's going to retain Austin Theory. We see him next, different area in the back. And he says, everyone get used to the kid stuff. They're going to push that until we no longer think that he's some young prospect. Because Theory said he's not the youngest first, the youngest of this, the first of this. He's not a kid. He's not that kid Seth Rollins thinks that he is. And he tells Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley, watch what I do to Mustafa Ali tonight. And as we said earlier, Austin Theory defeats Mustafa Ali. Very competitive match. Unfortunately, towards the end, Mustafa Ali goes for a frog splash. The 450 hits it beautifully, but sells the ribs like they broke in half. He doesn't go for the pin. Austin Theory capitalizes, gets the upper hand on Austin on Mustafa Ali, hits the A-town on Ali, 1-2-3. Right after the match, Bobby Lashley's on the Titantron saying, hey, Theory, you want me so bad? No problem. I'll come out to the ring. Lashley's outside the ring making fun of Austin Theory and his recent losses. Austin Theory makes fun of Bobby Lashley, his recent losses. Bobby Lashley enters the ring. They go at it a little bit. It leads to the outside. Austin Theory picks up a chair, whacks Bobby Lashley in the back. Bobby Lashley looks at him like, are you fucking stupid? And Austin Theory throws the chair down, runs to the back. Bobby Lashley, he's booking. He's running to the back as well. Unfortunately, Mustafa Ali was in the back. And I don't know if any of you thought about this, but I thought about it. And I was like, wait a minute. While they're brawling in the ring, where did Ali go? Isn't Ali still pissed off at Bobby Lashley as well? So anyway, Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory go to the back. We got a camera in the back. So Mustafa Ali, for some reason, is hanging out in the gorilla position. So when Austin Theory gets in the back, he starts brawling with Mustafa Ali. Bobby Lashley ends up in the back, and Austin Theory throws Mustafa Ali into Bobby Lashley. Theory runs away. And the burial of Mustafa Ali continues. Bobby Lashley looks at Ali. He's like, what the fuck you doing? He grabs Ali, starts beating on him. They go back to the rampway. Bobby Lashley throws the hurt lock on Mustafa Ali. Ali is done. So, all right. We get Matt Riddle and Elias over the Alpha Academy. This was my favorite match of the night. It was a lot of fun. Elias back in jeans once again. Listen, they work well together. You know ultimately a split's going to happen. You know ultimately that Elias is going to smash a guitar into Riddle's head or his back. oh, man, that was good. But it was a fun match. I enjoyed it. Floating bro by Matt Riddle onto Chad Gable, and they get the win. They actually look really well together. Something tells me maybe one eliminates the other at the Royal Rumble, and maybe that's when they have the split. People know where I was going with that before. That was not intentional. So next, we see JBL and Baron Corbin in the back playing cards. They don't like Albany. That's where WWE was tonight. Who the hell would live in Albany? Who would want to die in Albany? So Drew McIntyre shows up, and they make fun of Scotland. I guess they didn't make the World Cup. And the repeated line, JBL, can't wait to see Roman Reigns put his hands on Drew McIntyre. Drew has respect for his elders, so he doesn't fuck with JBL. He looks at Corbin. He says, I don't have respect for you. And Corbin challenges him to a match. Actually, Drew challenges Corbin to a match, and Corbin says, we could settle it right here. So Drew McIntyre's like, okay, you want to settle it right here? No problem. Punch right in the face. Now, everybody was abuzz when they saw that punch. I got it for you. Look at your screen. And for those on audio only, just listen to it. But look at this in real speed. And this looked like a piece of art.
But not you.
It sounded like it connected. Listen to it again.
Wrong with you?
In the ring. All right, hang on. Let me replay it. Let's replay it. There we go. All right, just listen to it closely. It looked like it connected perfectly. Everybody was buzzing about it on the IWC.
But not you.
Looked like he really punched him in the face. Now I want you to see it in slow-mo. This reminds me of my Uncle Joe when I was 12 years old, God rest his soul, when he first told me, hey, you're watching that fake shit? I'm like, it's not fake. And he took a tape. A lot of you know this story already. He took a tape. This is 1983, I think it was, or 82. He tells my aunt, give me a VHS tape. He puts it in a VHS tape, and he records like a minute of like championship wrestling on Channel 9. Then he plays it in slow motion, and I watch, I think, the Strongbow brothers. They were fighting with the Wild Samoans, and I think one of the Strongbows punched the Samoan, and as he did it in slow motion, it went like this. Hey, let me repine that for you. Pissed me off. Took the air out of my balloon. Look at Drew McIntyre's punch. This is a work of art. That's how good Drew McIntyre can pull his punches. Look at this in slow motion. I'll keep the audio just to annoy people. Watch. What? That is fucking good, man. That is good. I mean, that is just a work of art. One more time. That is beautiful. Drew, I'm serious. I'm not. This is not sarcasm. That might be the punch of the year. That's how good that was. Watch it again. Here it comes. There you go. That was great, man. That was great. No, that's just slow mo. You know, I never even knew I had slow motion in this thing. I had no idea. I figured it out the over the weekend. I was like, oh, we're going to start. I wish we had it with Nikki Cross a couple of weeks ago when she dropped the title on the floor. We would have been slow motioning that and reversing it and back and forth, up and down, in the front and the back. So they end up having a match, and this match was a lot of fun. Yeah, we got more comedy, everyone. More comedy. Akira Tozawa, his hair is now blonde once again. He's wearing his old outfit. He looks good. He actually fought Grayson Waller on main event and beat Grayson Waller, by the way, everyone. Main event results from tonight, Tozawa over Grayson Waller, Alba Fire over Tamina Snuka. So Tozawa shows up, jumps into the lap of JBL. JBL's like, what the hell are you doing? Tozawa, you know, tells JBL, hey, look the other way. He grabs his hat and he jumps over the barricade, runs away. Corbin is distracted, watching all of this. So you know what's going to happen next. Drew McIntyre with the Claymore, 2-3. Baron Corbin loses. Is that his first loss since he's back with JBL? Maybe. Backstage segment, AJ Styles predicting victory at Survivor Series. Finn Balor shows up. Little setup. Finn Balor's like, you think I'm a bad guy? And the next thing you know, Rhea Ripley out of nowhere. Hey, Mia! Yeah, she didn't say Mei-chan. She said, hey, Mia. Mia turns around. We get a flat-out brawl, garbage everywhere, using a car as a weapon. A park car, I should say. And the OC and the Judgment Day going at it. Now, this was important because it set up the main event. And again, this just took the air out of the balloon because this episode of Raw did not feel like it built that much the Survivor Series. I mean, seeing the Brawling Brutes was cool, Drew McIntyre as well. But it really did not. The only match that really felt like it built tonight, you know, Seth Rollins to an extent, but, you know, AJ Styles, Finn Balor, that probably built more than anything. And yes, Friday we'll probably see the Brutes and, you know, the Bloodline go at it a little bit. But here's where it just went downhill. We're about 30 minutes before Raw goes off the air. Bianca Belair hits the ring with Asuka and Alexa Bliss. No Mia Yim, because Mia Yim was in the brawl with the OC in the Judgment Day few moments earlier. So she was, I guess, being tended for her injuries. So you got the three women in the ring. Bianca Belair is touting Survivor Series. Alexa Bliss wants revenge on Nikki Cross. This person. Asuka, nobody ready for Asuka. And then Bianca Belair announces to the fans, you know, like, oh, you know, Damage Control wants to know who the fifth member is. We're going to reveal it on Friday SmackDown, and the crowd just booed them out of the fucking building. Me, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's just bullshit, to be honest with you. I mean, I understand, you know, you tease stuff, you milk it. I mean, we see it all the time. But, you know, Survivor Series is literally, it's going to be less than 24 hours away. And I personally think that that was a fatal error on WWE's part, because it took the air out of the balloon for that main event. Rhea Ripley defeats Asuka, so Damage Control's team gets the one-person advantage in War Games. You'll start out with two people, And then when the first person is allowed into the match for a two-on-one advantage, it will be damage control with the two-on-one advantage. Crowd was just dead for this match. After the match is over, I'm looking at the time, and we still got 3 minutes left. And I'm saying to myself, okay, maybe we'll get a brawl. Maybe because Mia Yim is not there, there is a 5-on-3 advantage. Maybe we get Beth Phoenix or whoever the fifth person is going to be. Instead, here comes Mia Yim. Nothing wrong with her. You know, she just been tended for an injuries until the match was over. And we get the 5-on-4 brawl, and we go off the air. Before we go off the air, you know, look, we criticize AEW. I don't put bot shit online because everybody makes a mistake, and, you know, I don't celebrate it. But we see it happen in AEW a lot, and tonight it was awful. At one point, right before we go off the air, Asuka climbs the top rope, and she's going to dive outside the ring onto everyone. And if you go back and you look at it, you see everybody setting up. The camera work was awful. And Io Sky, who is all the way on the right of the group, when Asuka jumps off, Io Sky moves out of the way. I don't know if because of a cameraman or something, but Asuka did not connect to her at all, and Io Sky takes a dive. And it just looked awful. And the dive was simply to, like, energize the fans. Like, oh, look, big dive. Nobody ready for Asuka. But they were pissed. They were pissed. Somebody asked earlier if Becky Lynch could possibly be the fifth person. Nah. I would be shocked. Becky Lynch is on the road to recovery. Becky Lynch would be a great choice. I think we all would be fine with Becky Lynch as the fifth person. And if you remember earlier this year, Becky Lynch absolutely has an axe to grind with damage control. I think it's a little too soon. I think it's a little too soon. Especially, this is War Games. You know, this is not just a regular 5-on-5 tag team match. This is going to get very, very physical, and there's going to be some serious brawling going on. I don't know if that would be the right environment for Becky Lynch to return in. I'm not against it. I like the idea. I like it a lot. I don't like Charlotte as the idea, because Charlotte returning just to go in War Games, why? Why would she hate damage control that much that she wants to destroy them? Whoever it is has been laid out by damage control. And that leads you really to three people. Not Dana Brooke. Sorry, we had fun with that on Saturday. That ain't happening. It leads you to three people. It leads you to Candice LeRae. It leads you to Becky Lynch. And it leads you to Beth Phoenix. To me, it doesn't lead you to Sasha Banks. I think once Mia Yim was added to that team, the idea of Sasha was out the door, because you're going to bring in Sasha and Naomi in on equal lengths, on equal ground, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I'm still thinking Beth Phoenix, in my opinion. We'll see. But that's how we went off the air. You know, very disappointing Raw. And teasing the surprise till Friday, all it did was just piss off everyone. I mean, look, sometimes we don't get what we want. Sometimes we're teased. Sometimes they go the scenic route. We're used to it. Tonight was different, though, because for the whole week, everything was leading to tonight as the reveal. All right, so as of right now for Survivor Series, we got 5 matches. We have Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory. Rollins putting the United States Championship on the line. AJ Styles with the OC in his corner versus Finn Balor with the Judgment Day in their corner. I don't know if Rhea Ripley and Mia Yim will be in their corners, because obviously they have the War Games match during the show. I'm very curious to see where the women's War Games match is positioned, especially if we get the return of Beth Phoenix. I think it could very well open up Survivor Series. So if we have them open up Survivor Series, I think because of the brawl, we may not see Mia Yim and Rhea Ripley. If I was WWE, you do not have them shown on TV again after the War Games match. Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi Blackheart for the SmackDown Women's Championship. The Bloodline versus the Brawling Brutes, Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens. Then we have Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and to be announced versus Damage Control, Nikki Cross, and Rhea Ripley. Those are your matches as of right now. NXT tomorrow, we have Wesley versus Carmelo Hayes. Wesley defending the North American Championship tomorrow. That match is going to be off the hook. Any of you out there that are NXT fans, watch that match tomorrow. It's going to be off the hook. We have Cora Jade versus Wendy Chu. Scripps will be revealed tomorrow. We will find out who Scripps is. I don't think it's going to be a well-known name. I think it's going to be somebody in developmental, you know, up and coming. And I think, you know, and I have a feeling the person might be have face paint or a mask. They might be seriously covered up. We'll see. And tomorrow, Toxic Attraction will open the show. So at 8 o'clock, you can know that you will be greeted with some Toxic Attraction. Wednesday's AEW Dynamite, we have match two in the best of seven with the Elite versus the Death Triangle. On Sunday, yesterday, we talked about the Full Gear event. We talked in detail. I gave my thoughts on the best of seven, which I am not looking forward to. I don't want to see the same match seven times over the next 2-3 months. Add stipulations to it. Make one a cage match. Make one a Texas Tornado. Make one this. Put some stipulations. Mix it up a little bit. These guys are going to do the same acrobatic shit because that's their style. I'm not knocking it. I don't want to see it seven times. So, but that's what we're getting on Wednesday. Orange Cassidy will defend the AEW All-Atlantic Championship against Jake Hager. Chris Jericho versus Tomohiro Ishii for the Ring of Honor Championship. Then we have the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament Final, Ethan Page versus Ricky Starks. That is Wednesday night, the day before Thanksgiving. SmackDown did 2,232,000, slightly less than last week's 2,264,000. Rampage did 445,000, little less than last week's 456. And Dynamite, you know, as we talked about on Saturday, it only did 818,000 viewers, down from last week's 930, which is terrible, especially as a lead into Full Gear. Full Gear was outstanding. You got your money's worth. I mean, I don't know how you don't get your money's worth with that many matches. I have it. I don't want to play it because I don't know how the Elite, you know, especially since they're very emotional people, I think they would be very quick to try to hit people with copyright strikes, but they posted their latest Being the Elite on YouTube. And yes, they did celebrate the Fuck CM Punk champs. And they're getting ripped apart tonight. It's going to be really interesting. AEW is going back to Chicago. It's going to be really interesting to see how they are received in Chicago. That's going to be pretty interesting. I think that might be worth a watch just to see how the crowd reacts. All right. Wow, we fucking flew through everything today. So before we go any further, I have a couple of super chats, a couple of questions in the chat. We got a few other things to talk about as well. But I just want to remind everyone that tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. It is the holiday season, everyone. Get the total package for your package. Gift yourself or gift another man in your life. It could be a neighbor, your uncle, your dad. If you're a little embarrassed about getting them hygiene for their private parts, you could get deodorant, body spray, shampoo. You could get body wash. They have cologne, which I have not tried yet, but I have one on the way. I want to go check that out. If you sign up, you could get 20% off your entire order. You get free shipping. You could get their Performance Package 4.0. You get the Weed Whacker, which is an ear and nose trimmer. And I have one, and it is spectacular. It has an LED light so you could see how disgusting the hairs look on your ears, your nose. Yeah, we're not going to go there, everyone. You also get the weed whacker. You get the lawnmower trimmer. The lawnmower trimmer, you know, if you're going to, you know, if you have Don King down there, everyone, you take the lawnmower and you trim it up nicely. And then you use the crop preserver. You use the soap. You gel it up nicely. And then that's when you want to, you know, get a little bit up close and personal and trim things. You don't want a horror film to end up down there. But you get the lawnmower 4.0. You get the weed whacker for your nose and your ears. You get the crop preserver, which is ball deodorant. You get crop reviver, which is a spray. You know, plus, like I showed you earlier, they got the foot deodorant there. Manscaped.com, you can't go wrong. Seriously. I plug it because I like it. I said if I ever push anything on this show, it's going to be shit that I use and shit that I like. Manscaped.com, promo code DonTony. Free shipping, 20% off. You can't go wrong. Especially Black Friday is coming up. I can only imagine what they're going to have on sale this Friday. So maybe you wait till Friday, and then you go pick up some stuff. All right. So with that said, because we are flying today, and that's a good thing because we want to start flying on these shows a little bit. All right. Let's get into some shout-outs. Ray Ray. Ray Ray. With the 7 spot. Much love. I love odd 7. Lucky 7. Great programming as usual, DT. Much love from Canada. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate it. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And thank you very much for your generosity. I appreciate the support. If everyone is having a good time tonight and you're enjoying the show, hit that thumbs up. It definitely helps. And believe me, I tell you, when you watch the State of the Channel address tomorrow, one thing you will realize that I want 2023 to be a huge year for the Don Tony Show family. We definitely want to upgrade. We want to improve. We want to tighten things up. We want to add things, take some things away. And I promise you the things we take away, I don't think anybody really will complain. Oh, I almost forgot. I almost forgot. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about podcast Forbidden Door 4. So when you tune in tomorrow, you will hear what the criteria is, and you will have an opportunity to help me decide who will be podcast Forbidden Door 4. You know, we just had JD from New York on November 3rd. Outstanding show. Biggest response yet of the three that we did, and that's not a knock on Jason Solomonster or Joe Cronin. It's just I think people were very intrigued to see how JD and I we're going to get along, and all three of the Forbidden Doors have been spectacular. Nothing against those three guys. I want 4 to fucking kick ass. So when you tune in tomorrow, I already recorded. The whole video is about 20 minutes long. So we get into everything, and go check it out. All right. Much love, Ray Ray. King of Games, 405 with the 5 spot. Just want to say thank you for your honesty. Been spot on since the all-out media scrum, especially with Andrade. You know, speaking of Andrade, let's segue into a news article. It's in a synopsis tonight. What do you think this is? Is it just, I'm going to put the mask in the drawer. I'm not going to wear the mask to the ring anymore. I don't wear the mask during the match. I just wear it down the ring. Why do I need to back it in the drawer? Why do I have to box it away? Am I selling it on eBay? That is my Andrade impersonation, everyone. When these, and look, I'm a huge Andrade fan. Anybody who follows the show on a regular basis, I defend Andrade. I'm a little concerned about the AEW fans going after Andrade because of the Sammy stuff, and I think something else is going to develop soon. But when these guys post stuff on social media, they understand how powerful their words are. They understand how powerful their teasing is. Just because Andrade may not speak so great English and Andrade is more international doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's fucking doing. Andrade is a very slick man. By the way, shout out to Redima. Miro. Look at Miro. You see social media now all of a sudden paying attention to how little they use a Miro Andrade? Wow, they're getting a little bit of cojones there. They wouldn't dare ever talk about it. Now suddenly they are. Unreal. Anyway, Andrade went on social media today and posted this. Very, very bad quality photo. Andrade, use better phone. Use better camera phone. Andrade takes a picture of him holding his mask. And all he writes is, I just want to say thank you. Bye. Bye. Not bye as in bisexual. Not bye as I'm going to go buy something. Bye as bye. Bye. B-Y-E. Andrade looking at his mask and saying bye. Anybody wonder what that actually is? Some people think he is exiting AEW. My gut feeling is that no, that is not true. And the reason why I don't think it has to do with an AEW exit is because the mask has never been a big factor of his character in AEW. Yes, he has worn the mask down to the ring, but the mask is not a big part of his character in AEW. So no, I don't believe that this has anything to do with an AEW exit. I mean, look, anything is possible. Anything is possible. But it is interesting that he's looking at his mask. Hopefully he doesn't have like a lot of conversations with the mask. Hey, what did you eat today? Stay away from the chili. Gave me really big agita tonight. I mean, how often does he talk to the mask? Good morning, mask. How are you today? Would you like to have some steam? You smell a little bit. You smell like breath. Let me clean you. I don't know what that means. I don't know what he's teasing. But I want you to see it. Let's see where it goes from here. I have a feeling. Yeah, I don't know what that accent is, everyone. I use the same accent for Russia, Bulgaria, Spanish. I don't use it for Asian, though. But I feel a little under the weather today. I'm going on vacation Wednesday. I better not get sick. But, yeah, so that's what happened with Andrade. But thank you for the kind words, King of Games. You know, this is why also, you know, just to let a little cat out of the bag, we're going to start putting some clips online because we want those clips to remain on YouTube forever. So when people look up about some of these stories over the last 6 months, you know, we got shit out there instead of it being embedded an hour into a podcast. I get hiccups. Sticky Fingers Frank. I like, what a name. Sticky Fingers Frank. WWE totally crapped the bed tonight, not revealing Bianca's fifth member. I agree, 1,000%. Pissed off fans. And you know why? You know why I think it also pissed off fans? They waited until 10:30 Eastern to say that. They waited until close to the end of the show to tell everyone, oh yeah, Friday. If they would have opened up Raw and done that, I think by the end of the night, people would have let it go a little bit and then maybe get into the Oscar Rhea Ripley match. But that was a dick move, in my opinion. The heels should do something like that. Yeah, we're not going to tell you who the fifth member is. Now you're going to have to wait till Friday. You know, that's a dick move that people do. You know, it's like me in the insurance business. I'll call an insurance company. Listen, did you do my application yet? You know, I need the ID cards. I got a customer going to the dealership today. Don't worry, we'll have it to you in a little while. Half hour, an hour goes by. Hey, you got my ID cards yet? Listen, I told you, I'll give it to you. You know what? You'll get them on Friday. Fuck you. You know, honestly, that was a bullshit move. That's not Bianca's fault, obviously. She's a character on TV. Bianca, it's not her fault. But this does not help that group in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. Bob the Builder, he genuinely cannot think of anyone who's come out of a long-term Jericho feud better off except for Jon Moxley. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, Jericho, you know, he's had some interesting feuds in AEW. I think Jungle Boy kind of helped a little bit at the time, even though they really missed the boat doing the Rocky underdog storyline with Jungle Boy. I think they really missed the boat that time. The Orange Cassidy feud, maybe it helped Orange Cassidy a little bit. The MJF stuff, you know, even though it was entertaining at times, the way it ended, I didn't like it at all. By the way, again, everyone, if you did not check it out yet, when I go like this, you will see a link to check out yesterday's episode of The Sit Down. We had some really good conversation about Full Gear. We also talked in detail what's next. Who does MJF feud with next? Put an idea out there that surprised some people. Some people weren't even thinking about it. We were also talking about why Samoa Joe may have become a double champion yesterday. Not because he's Samoan like Roman Reigns, who also has two belts. That might have been done by design. Wardlow losing that championship yesterday. I know some people think, oh, maybe he's going to WWE. Look, it's just the TNT title. You know, nothing against the TNT title, but AEW's got 38 titles there. You know, somebody dropping anything other than the major AEW belt, you know, I wouldn't be that concerned about it. But I think there was a legitimate reason why Wardlow dropped that title yesterday. So check it out. It was a really good conversation yesterday. But I agree with what you said, Bob. Absolutely. So, but thank you for that. You know, Jericho, it's going to be interesting to see who his next feud is. We got the Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view, as I like to call it. We got that coming up sooner than people realize. It's coming up a lot sooner than people realize, so I'm very curious to see what Jericho ends up doing there. Will we get a surprise return by someone? That is very, very possible. But, you know, we'll see what happens. All right, so we are going so far 62 minutes. We definitely want to start bringing this home. And we'll hang out for like 5-10 minutes in the chat if you have any quick questions you want me to answer. Nothing that involves too many brain cells, you know, so we could get out of here quickly tonight. Again, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving this week. It's going to be, you know, pretty much an abbreviated week because of the holiday. But programming note again, tomorrow at 12 noon, Tuesday, 12 noon Eastern, the State of the Channel video will release for everyone. On Wednesday at 12 noon, Survivor Series predictions will be released for everyone. I will be back here Sunday night at 8:05 p.m. We're going to split the show like we did yesterday. We will talk about Survivor Series. We will talk about the fallout, what's next, where it's going to lead to, what feuds are going to spawn coming out of Survivor Series, and we'll do a little sit down as well. So really, if you think about it, I'm only going to miss one show this week, and that'll be Saturday. But I will be back here in time for Sunday night. I hope everybody enjoys Survivor Series. So tomorrow we have the NXT Watch Party, if you all want to come. And by the way, on the channel, State of the Channel video yesterday, we addressed the watch parties. I addressed what's going on, some of the problems that are going on right now, and what the future of the watch parties will be. So I got a lot in there for 20 minutes. So we're not doing Survivor Series predictions because two reasons. Number one, there could be a lot of changes by Friday, and we also did Crown Jewel. So we do a predictions contest once every month. We did one at the beginning of November for Crown Jewel. And I did that by design because I know Survivor Series is a little bit disarray, especially after tonight when we don't even know who the fifth member is. You know, it's, put it this way, this is what you got to understand. We're not going to know the fifth member until 9:55 p.m. on Friday. Survivor Series is Saturday, the next day. And I'm going to be on vacation on top of it. So it's going to be a very, very short window for anybody to put in predictions. So, yeah, so that's why we're not doing it. I thought about that at Crown Jewel. And I was thinking, do we do Crown Jewel or we do Survivor Series? And I chose Crown Jewel. I figured it would be better. So, all right, who do I think will be the fifth member for War Games? Steve Barbie. The person I put in this thumbnail that I still haven't on YouTube tonight, but I put question marks because I don't want to clickbait. I think it's Beth Phoenix. I tell you, I'm not trying to like be nasty. I'm not being nasty. For an older woman, the way they do up her hair and her outfit, she fits in perfect. You know, it's interesting when you look back at women's wrestling, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you rarely ever had women in their 40s, you know, really still, you know, have a substantial footprint, unless your name was Fabulous Moolah or you were doing comedy shit like Mae Young. So I still think it's Beth Phoenix. Nothing against Candice LeRae. I don't think the fans would give a shit. I think the fans would be pissed if they waited till Friday night at 9:55 to reveal that it's Candice LeRae. I think fans would be angry at that. Becky Lynch would be great, but I just don't think Becky Lynch would fit that. I think Beth Phoenix makes the most sense. And you know why I still think it's Beth Phoenix? Because last week they reminded us what the Judgment Day did to Beth and the I Quit match with Edge and Finn Balor. There's been too much silence on Edge and Beth Phoenix's side. And there's been enough time that has gone by. We had Crown Jewel, and they were not part of it. So I think Beth Phoenix is the one. And you know what's good about it, too? Beth Phoenix only has to come back for War Games. That's it. No reason why she needs to continue afterwards. So I'm going to stick with Beth Phoenix. I think it's going to be Beth Phoenix. All right, KFab, always liked Beth Phoenix, especially the underrated feud with Candice and Michelle. Yeah, you know, Beth Phoenix, look, the Glamazon was great. And she really did a great job. I remember when people early on were comparing her strength and bringing it up with China. You know, as time went by, I think that kind of like drifted away from there. But Beth Phoenix, she definitely had a presence about herself. You know, if you see how we have more intergender wrestling now in 2022 compared to 10 years ago, I think if we had intergender wrestling now, like then, I don't know about WWE, but I think we would have seen Beth Phoenix face a lot of men. Especially, I know that sounds kind of off, but I think she would have, you know, she, at minimum, maybe she would, you know, like, get some interaction with guys in the Royal Rumble. All right. Yeah, I dig Ozzy Osbourne. Look, I'll spare you the, you know, the TP and, you know, my War Games NXT intro that time. But, you know, I like Black Sabbath. I like Ozzy Osbourne. And I'm a Guido. I'm into disco. Always been, always will be. But I have room for a little bit of Black Sabbath. I get pumped up when I hear War Games. And I'm looking forward to it. I hope we get Triple H, you know, that yells out War Games. I know William Regal's the only one that could do it. But, you know, that always gets you. I think War Games is going to be a really good mic. I think it's going to be really, really good. I think the Bloodline match might be a little bit predictable because most of us feel like Sami Zayn is going to be the one to be pinned. And, you know, it's going to start little cracks with Sami Zayn in the foundation. You could see Sami Zayn predicting victory, which I don't know why in storyline that would piss off anybody in the Bloodline. But you could see, I think, some cracks coming. I think Sami Zayn will be the one. Jericho wants power, Charlie? Absolutely. Who wouldn't? You're Jericho at his age and still be able to do it. You could get in that position. You could make millions and millions and millions and have stroke. Any of us would do that. I have no issue with Jericho and the power that he desires and is receiving. No issue with it whatsoever. And you know what? I know some people may disagree with this. I'd rather, look, I'm not an employee in wrestling. But I personally think I would rather have Jericho as an EVP. I'm not saying he is, but I'd rather have Jericho in management than Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks. Kenny Omega may be second after Jericho, but I'd rather have Jericho in that position than Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. No updates on Adam Cole, Steve. Unfortunately, the news that came out last week from the Observer, no disrespect to Dave Meltzer, but it's the same shit from 3 months ago. There's been no change. It's just, hey, we need to get a little news story. Hey, you know, people are concerned about Adam Cole. No fucking shit. 3 months ago, we said, say a prayer for Adam Cole because he's still dealing with a lot of serious issues with his concussion. Nothing has changed. So that concern that everybody had last week, that's the same concern that we had a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and so on. There's no update for Adam Cole. And it sucks. It sucks that he has not been able to return. And it must crush him. It really does. So, yeah, we want to see him back. I hope we get Adam Cole back in 2023. Rams fan says Brian Danielson said he is done full-time after AEW. Do I think it's true? Maybe. But here's the weird thing about it. Is anybody working full-time in AEW? How many matches is Brian Danielson? I mean, Brian Danielson works. He works his ass off. He earns his pay. But I don't think he has the same rigor as AEW does, because he'd be wrestling once to twice a week in WWE right now if he was in WWE. So if he considers what he's doing right now with AEW full-time, especially that they only have one day a week, he doesn't work YouTube, AEW. So you got one day a week that he is in the building for AEW. You know, exception, obviously. Sometimes you get a pay-per-view. But for the most part, Brian Danielson is there one day a week. Am I wrong with that? I wouldn't call that full-time. So, you know, if that's full-time, I mean, my God, what is he going to have? The Undertaker schedule when he returns to WWE? So, you know, I think Brian Danielson has, you know, earned the right to have a little vacation. But Moxley, too. You know, it was a little bizarre land on Saturday with Moxley, but maybe some time off would be good for him. All right, Benjamin with a comment. Me EM confirmed that Meechan was her idea on Twitter. Good, good. That's why I purposely did not write in the preview that it was stupid, wrong, fans were angry, because somebody said to me, nah, that was her idea. So, hey, if that's her idea, I respect it. No problem with it at all. Look at me with all my stupid Italian terms. You know, so if I had a nickname and I was doing stuff in wrestling and I could use an Italian term, Cosa Nostra or something like that, I guarantee there'd be a lot of you out there that'd be like, what the fuck is that? That's stupid. But for me, I think it's pretty cool. So very, very cool. If that's what you came up with, hey, it's kind of interesting WWE would allow the term crazy, especially in this politically correct, like you can't say words like that. So, all right, let's wrap this up in about 3 or 4 minutes. So we are at 73 minutes right now. I want to keep the shows from now on around an hour, you know, go over a little bit. I mean, there's no strict, we got to go off the air, especially that, you know, I'm no longer on Pro Wrestling TV. So if you want to know what that's all about, tune into tomorrow. Give it little teasers here and there. There's, you know, nothing bad though. Nothing bad. It was strictly my decision. There was some very, very legit reasons why I felt right now, you know, we could always go back there later on, but right now I think I have to do a little bit of building over here. So, which person passed away in the description? Nobody. Nobody died in the description. I don't know where. Oh, no, that's the theme music for Johnny Gargano. I'm going to update the title later on, but Rest in Peace, Rebel Heart. That's his theme music. You know, that's the lyrics. So, you know, when I'm done with the show, I'm going to update, you know, the title. I have to put something up there as a preview. It's not clickbait. I mean, everything I wrote is really what happened tonight, but I'm going to make it a little neater. I don't want anybody to think that a physical person died. By the way, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick over here, but if you read Rest in Peace, Rebel Heart, I think if anybody thinks that that's an actual human being, they might think like, oh, some American Indian died. Like Rebel Heart sounds like an Indian name. Oh, Chief Rebel Heart, he died. So, you know, it's a theme song. That's where it came from. So it's all good. It's all good. All right. I think we're going to get out of here. I hope everybody enjoyed tonight's episode. Definitely leave your feedback, your comments. I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. I am very, very thankful for all of your support. It's very much appreciated. It's never taken for granted. And I am very excited to see where this goes in 2023. You know, especially after all these years, to still want to do it, you know, at some level, you know, that's pretty damn cool. I mean, you know, your support and everybody and, you know, the money, you know, kind of helps too. You know, not a lot, but it's enough where we can still grow and expand. I definitely have some visual upgrades coming, but tomorrow it's more about format So, you know, I think people overall will be very much satisfied with we get into tomorrow. But definitely check out the rest of the shows this week. If you know anyone out there that might like the channel, just let them know about it. I don't think they'll punch you in the head, you know, like, what the hell did you give me over here? So maybe they'll like it. And, yeah, I hope everybody has a very safe, happy, healthy Thanksgiving. Enjoy Survivor Series. I mean, I will be recording predictions tomorrow, Tuesday. It will be available for everybody Wednesday at 12 noon. I will put it on a timer so everybody could watch it at that time. I pretty much have in my head who's going to win, in my opinion, and I don't know how accurate it will be, but I don't expect much to change by Friday. And honestly, everyone, I'll leave you with this, and I think everybody will agree with me on this. I think the reason why WWE milked this until Friday for the member of Bianca's team is because they don't have anything else. I don't think Bray Wyatt and LA Knight is going to lead to a match. I don't even know if LA Knight's going to even appear on SmackDown this Friday. Maybe he does. That shit on Friday was cool, man. We had some fun talking about that on Saturday. I loved it. But I have a feeling that they really did not have any big reveals coming for Friday. So they said, okay, you know what? Let's hold off on the Bianca reveal until Friday, because other than maybe a Brawling Brutes, you know, Survivor Series team clashing in the ring, brawling, going off the air that way, I don't think they have much else. I don't think, and you know what? I will almost bet the ranch that the women's reveal is not even at the close of SmackDown. I expect the Bloodline and, you know, the Brawling Brutes team with Kevin Owens and Drew to close out SmackDown. So I would not be surprised if we find out who that member is the beginning of hour two. But I think that's why they may have held off until Friday, because I don't think they have much else of anything. So, yeah, that's great. KFAT, everyone, have a very oozy Thanksgiving. I will have an oozy Thanksgiving. I hope you all have an oozy. And you know what? If you don't have an oozy Thanksgiving, have a brutey Thanksgiving, because that's the term they came up with Friday also. Brutey and oozy. Which one are you, everyone? Are you an oozy type of guy, or are you an brutey type of guy? And yeah, I'm just thinking about what we were talking about Saturday. Oh, oozy, juicy, oozy. Loosey, goosey, juicy, oozy. I don't remember how we said it, but all right, everyone, I'm rambling. I'm going to jet out of here. I don't know why I feel like shit tonight. I think I sound very nasal. It's not good, especially when you get to go. I hope nobody fucking gave me COVID over the week. I had to go to a funeral. My Uncle Santo died. I know a lot of you are aware of it already. No condolences. I mean, I know you already sent it, but my Uncle Santo, the person who I said had stage 4 cancer, who was battling, he unfortunately died on the 17th. I had to go all the way to Lake Ronkonkoma Saturday for his funeral. So I did not watch Full Gear until Sunday morning. But, you know, see, he passed away, and, you know, that kind of, like, sucked. And now I feel like shit. I hope nobody gave me COVID. So, all right. I just had COVID for my honeymoon, so I really don't want a repeat occurrence, especially since I had never had it before. All right, I'm rambling. Bye.
I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.